me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Time for Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsberg. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, 3 years ago, in 2022, we discussed a program of the Manitoba Historical Society to put a plaque on some former residences of noteworthy Manitobans. Each plaque states the name of the person, the period of time when they lived in the house, and a few words describing why they're noteworthy. It's a similar program to one in London, England, that is believed to be the oldest commemorative plaque program in the world, dating back to 1867. Now, since our original conversation, I've had some firsthand experience with the challenges in this whole approach, and there have been some new developments that I thought our listeners might find interesting.
So what does one of the Manitoba plaques look like?
Well, unlike the London plaques, which are circular, ours are oval. They measure about 20 inches wide, 14 inches tall. They're made of solid metal with raised white letters on a blue background. The plaques are made to be fastened to one of the house's exterior walls or to a pole in front of it.
Now, how many houses in Manitoba have received these plaques?
Well, to date, a dozen plaques have been produced, but I have to say, three of them have not been installed. One of those uninstalled plaques was for a house near Homewood, Manitoba, that we were told had belonged to early Premier Rodmond Roblin. He was the grandfather of Duff Roblin. My research over the past 3 years has confirmed that the house was owned by Roblin, but it was not his primary residence. You know, instead, his son lived there for most of his life. So I would say it's debatable whether it is truly the home of a noteworthy Manitoban. Another uninstalled plaque was intended for the former home of Manitoba's only prime minister, Arthur Meehan, in Portage-la-Prairie. We've given the plaque to the homeowner, but for reasons known only to himself, he has not installed it, and there's not much we can do to compel him. And the third uninstalled plaque was for the former home of celebrated novelist Frederick Philip Grove at Rapid City. Now, in that case, house ownership had changed, and we were told that the new owner was just not keen on having a plaque that might attract attention from what we might call Grove groupies, if there is such a thing.
So these uninstalled plaques illustrate some of the challenges to which you referenced earlier, right?
Right. And you know, and there are others. You know, we want the plaques to be well made and durable, but because each one of them is unique, there aren't many economies of scale in the manufacturing process, and as a result, the per plaque cost is high. It's roughly $1,700. You know, and that's why our policy now is to require the cost to be borne by the homeowner if no corporate sponsorship can be found. A second reason is that finding the address and years of occupation by noteworthy people, especially for rural houses, is tough. You know, frankly, I know based on my recent research that the dates given on some of our existing plaques are wrong. You know, the Meehan plaque is one example. Even now, we're not entirely sure how long Arthur Meehan owned his house in Portage before moving permanently to Ottawa. A third challenge relates to the question of, well, what happens to the plaque long term in terms of maintenance? Who's responsible for repairs if a plaque is damaged or if it deteriorates with time? This could be another financial burden on the homeowner. Yet despite these challenges, there are two exciting new developments that I'd like to share. And the first of them relates to what I call a variation on the theme.
How so?
Well, all our previous plaques have been blue, taking their cue from the ones in London. But starting in 2024, a member of the Manitoba Historical Society, Hugh Arkley, has taken the initiative to install plaques that are similar in appearance, but yellow. Now, we might ask, why? Why yellow? Well, it's because Hugh wants to mark the sites in Manitoba that were connected with the Commonwealth Air Training Plan. That was a Second World War program that saw people from all across Canada, as well as other Commonwealth countries, come here to be trained as pilots, navigators, and, well, other air crew. The training aircraft that they used at facilities associated with the plan were painted yellow. Now, I imagine it was because they They wanted a maximum visibility, you know, if they ever had difficulties. And this color has become associated with the Commonwealth Air Training Plan. Last October, a yellow plaque was unveiled at the aviation training facility at Southport near Port of La Prairie. It was a major training center during the war, and well, I understand that Hugh wants to unveil plaques at other training sites in the coming years as he's able to raise the funds for them.
So that was the first new development. What's the second new development?
Well, I was contacted recently by members of a group called the Marshall McLuhan Initiative. It was formed in 2007, and the group perpetuates the memory of this noted Manitoban. People don't always realize, but Marshall McLuhan lived in Winnipeg from 1915 to 1934. And, well, he attended quite a number of Winnipeg schools, including Gladstone, Earl Grey, Kelvin High School. Well, then eventually the University of Manitoba, where he received 2 degrees. Now, of course, he went on in life. He spent his later life in Toronto, and he wrote numerous books. And in fact, one of his more famous McLuhanisms, even if you've never heard of this fellow, is a phrase, "The medium is the message." And the idea was that the medium we use to communicate can determine how we perceive and understand the information. And although he died in 1980, Dr. McLuhan's thoughts still resonate, in fact, arguably even more so now in this saturated media environment that we live in. He foresaw the rise of the internet, and in fact, he warned against potential harms that could arise from technologies like social media and artificial intelligence.
So where does a blue plaque come into the McLuhan story?
Well, earlier this year, the Marshall McLuhan Initiative purchased McLuhan's former family home on Gertrude Avenue here in Winnipeg, and they would like to mark it with one of our blue plaques. They plan to turn the house into what they're calling the Marshall McLuhan Center, and they have 4 goals in mind. You know, they want to help extend the work of this great Manitoban. They want to showcase McLuhan as one of the creators of a new way of looking at the world through the lens of media ecology. They want to celebrate his upbringing in Winnipeg, and I think most importantly, to observe the crucial role that both his prairie roots and his devout Catholic faith had on McLuhan's work. Now, if all goes well, they plan to have a ceremony to unveil this plaque this coming fall. And when completed, the center is going to feature an exhibit space, a library and media center, a public meeting venue, and a room for a scholar in residence. And I presume that that's going to be somebody who will expand on McLuhan's intellectual legacy. You know, so in the meantime, before that blue plaque for the McLuhan House is made, you know, I would direct listeners to the MHS online database of historically significant buildings, because I've added a site for the McLuhan House on Gertrude. And of course, if any of our listeners are inspired by these new developments and they want to maybe seek a plaque for other noteworthy places, please feel free to contact the Manitoba Historical Society. There is at least one other house that I'm aware of that might be in line for a blue plaque, but negotiations are too early a stage for me to discuss it today.
Okay, but I want the exclusive.
You will get it.
Thank you. Thanks for this, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, just this past Thursday, 5 recipients of a Lieutenant Governor's Historical Preservation Award were presented in a ceremony at Government House. Next week, I'm going to share the names of the award winners and describe the good work for which each of them was recognized.
I love those episodes. Thank you so much, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now. Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba.